Hey, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we had a really bad week with our football teams.
But, at least yours was competitive.
Yeah, but hold on. We got to talk about something here, because what was the one rule we had when we first started the end zone?
No Patriots fans?
Exactly. So would you care to explain a certain situation that's just developed?
Yes, I'd like to introduce our special guest for this episode, and a big Patriots fan, so I'm going to be living in his shadow for this episode. Also, huge supporter and fan of Bloody Kings, our Highlander podcast that Norman and I co-host. I'd like to welcome Mr. Pete Engstrom himself, Mr. Super Swede! Welcome to the show, Peter. Welcome to the end zone.
Kevin, Kyle, thanks so much for having me. I got to tell you, things here in Mordor, the Borg Cube, the Death Star, Foxborough. Things are going pretty well over here, I got to say, you know. Things are coming up roses.
Well, I appreciate all of the support you've been giving the Fandom Podcast Network, specifically Blood of Kings to start, and of course, being a big football fan yourself. Listening to our measly little football show here, The End Zone. So we appreciate your support. Appreciate the retweets and all that kind of stuff. I know you're a big Patriots fan, and we'll touch on that a little bit while we're having on. So you're gonna have fun in this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
why I'm here. So, Kyle, I think we should probably get things rolling, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, this is The End Zone on the Fandom Podcast Network. And, of course, you can find all of the great stuff on the Fandom Podcast Network, of course, at our main homepage, fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app on any of your mobile devices. And, of course, you can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Play app if you use an Android phone. Just remember, search Fandom Podcast Network, and it'll give you the feed for all of our great shows. Of course, you can visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us, give us your input at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can talk about our mediocre fantasy advice that we give you. But and of course, you can follow us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network or Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Where can people find you on social media, Kevin?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And what about you, Pete? Where can people find you out there in the internet land?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at TheSuperSwede78. Got to make sure it's TheSuperSwede, not all those other Super Swedes out there. It's TheSuperSwede78.
Awesome. Well, it's really, really good to have you on here, Pete. Now, I thought before we get into your Patriots dominance showcase here. let's learn a little bit more about you. You, of course, are a big supporter of our Bloody Kings Highlander podcast. Tell us a little bit about you. What's your backstory and how you found the Fandom Podcast Network?
Well, you know, I found the Fandom Podcast Network mostly through Blood of Kings. I'm a big Highlander fan. And I think around last year was the 30th anniversary of Highlander. And I thought, I rewatched the movie. I started rewatching the series. And I found the podcast just because I wanted something more to listen to. And I found Blood of Kings. So actually, I found the Fandom Flashback episode.
Ah, and gotcha.
That really, really rekindled my fandom for Highlander big time. I mean,
that was the birth of the Blood of Kings podcast there, the Highlander Fandom Flashbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was great. They were great to listen to. And I was so, so happy that you guys made that into a permanent show. That was like every week I'd get more Highlander and you guys go over all the different aspects of the franchise. And I wrote the email a while back mentioning that I like went into my attic and I pulled out all my old Highlander stuff from like 20 years ago that I hadn't even seen, and VHS tapes and posters and shirts that don't fit anymore, all this stuff that that I pulled out. And that was the thing that directed me towards the Phantom Podcast Network. And you guys put out so many more great things in between, you know, Culture Clash and Couch Potato Theater. I love that's that's a good one as well. You know, it's just the output is incredible, and just it's all good.
Well, now Kevin, it sounds like he's buttering you up for the beatdown he's going to put on you later in the show. That's just me, but
no, let's go ahead and get right into it. Let's get into this week 10 wrap up, or week 11, excuse me, wrap up here. Now, of course, this game, let's talk about Patriots Raiders in Mexico City. This was one of the games that everyone was looking at was going to be the AFC, AFC playoff championship, you know, game preview.
Big match.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Now I have a question for you guys here. Okay, does it really count as a beatdown, the Mexico beatdown, if the Raiders never showed up?
Well, they showed up ahead a little bit. They did get a touchdown.
Yeah, that was point conversion.
No. That I saw the call by Belichick. He says, "Please initiate." What was it? Pity. Touchdown. That's what that was. Okay, Pete. Let's talk.
TDs.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about the game, man. Raiders. They've been struggling. They're not where they were last year. Obviously, trouble on both sides of the ball. Of course, something funny happened after that loss on Sunday night against the Redskins. We're not sure exactly what it was. The Raiders lost their coach, of course. Ken Norton Jr. was fired, which, that's another story we can touch on. But let's talk about your Patriots here, man. There was some doubt when they were kind of losing one or two here, but that was it. They've only lost two. They're on a roll here. They also have – they're really deep in running back right now, which is frustrating for fantasy football guys.
Which guy do you pick up?
Exactly. But let's talk about, first of all, tell us about your history with the Patriots, how you became a Patriots fan, and then let's go into this week's game.
So I became a Patriots fan around 1996, the season that they went to the Super Bowl with Bill Parcells, the Drew Bledsoe era. And leading up to that, as soon as Parcells arrived, the Patriots began to get a buzz in the Boston area, in New England, it's a Red Sox town. And now it's a Patriots town. And mostly because of Bill Parcells arriving, Robert Kraft buying the Patriots in 93, I believe. And slowly but surely, you know, the team started to become more relevant. The games used to get blacked out. In fact, there's a lot of Giants fans up here in New England because for the longest time, no one could watch Patriots games. It was just like, it was so bad that they weren't on TV. So they would air Giants games instead. So I started becoming a fan in 1996. And that was oddly enough the year that they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Packers. And I've been a fan ever since. And obviously the arrival of Bill Belichick and the drafting of Tom Brady. And that really... I mean, this run is kind of, we all know it's pretty unprecedented. And as a fan, I mean, I know there's a lot of New England fans up here that are pretty jaded. And they're like, you know, it's going to be 19-0, dude. It's going to be, you know, I can't think like that. You know, this, when you see the level of success and you know that this could all end within the next few years, you get really going to be appreciative of the fact that they've been as dominant as they've been with other teams nipping at their heels, whether it was the Jets for a little while, the Colts, the Ravens, the Raiders. You know, there's been a lot of teams that have come and gone and different levels of success and rebuilding and that sort of thing. And the Patriots just, they've stuck around, and it's been the consistency of Belichick and Brady
Well, I know after that Super Bowl loss in the 90s, I know things got a little worse before they got better. Mm. So I know that you, obviously you stuck with him through that time as well. And trust me, I know what it's like sticking through a team through a dark decade there. it's interesting about the blackouts. I know that very well, becoming a Raider fan when they're in LA. We lived right outside the blackout area, which was nice. We could watch games without having to go down and watch them personally there. But let's talk about this last week here, and tell me a little bit about your team and going into this match with the Raiders in Mexico City. How are you feeling going into it?
Well, I was fairly confident in the fact that they played the week before in Denver, and they never win in Denver. Denver's been a house of horrors for the Patriots for decades. Even in the Belichick Brady era, they have a very hard time in Denver. I don't know if it's the altitude or what, but they decided to stay out on the West Coast. I mean, they stayed in Mexico City, I believe, or near there, at an Air Force base or something like that.
Well, they stayed in Colorado Springs. They stayed in the altitude, which was, I think, a smart thing to do.
Mm, exactly, and. Yeah, they played the week before there, but why not stay out there, get acclimated to the conditions, the atmosphere, and that way they wouldn't have to travel across the country or into internationally again. Like, you don't go to Denver and then come back all the way to Foxborough and then a week later fly all the way back out there. So they did a pretty good job of sticking around, getting acclimated, sticking to their game plan. And that's why, funny story, actually, I had seen Danny Amendola, and I think it was Stephon Gilmore, went out of the game with cramps, and they had to go in the back for IVs. And the discussion up here is that they were worried about drinking the water in Mexico. So they were like, no one drink the water in Mexico.
Right.
So,
I've heard that one.
We all have. Yeah. So, I think when you beat Denver in Denver, where the Patriots very rarely come out of there with a win, and they go play against a Raiders team, and I don't mean to pick on you, but defensively, their secondary has been riddled with injuries. It's been a tough year for them. And
horrid, yeah.
Yeah, and I heard on the broadcast that they hadn't had an interception all year, and I was like,
yeah. No, yeah, that's like a record.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. And so, I was pretty confident that they would walk away with a win. And I just, I was pretty pleased with the end result. I mean,
Well, okay, well, let's talk about how you feel about them going through the rest of the season real quick. And then, Kyle, we'll get into a little bit about our teams. But I wanted to wrap up here with Pete about your outlook on the Patriots going through the rest of the season.
Well, when you look at the rest of the season, you've got a bunch of divisional games between the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins. I think the only team in the division that they've played and the AFC East so far has been the Jets. Every other team that it's this throughout the rest of the stretch is all divisional opponents. The other game that's really going to be a big test for them is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, a lot of people are thinking, oh, those are the, Pittsburgh number one all the way. But Tom Brady's eaten their lunch on more than one occasion. They tend to run kind of like this zone defense, and Brady just knows exactly where to put the ball. He can point out, what's going to happen before it happens. And you saw it last year in the playoffs. And, I until Pittsburgh can really show something different defensively that can really put a test on Tom, I think that that's probably might not be an easy win, but I think it's a win. And I will say this, divisional games, whether it's the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills, well, maybe not the Bills, but definitely between the Jets and the Dolphins, I think one of those teams, mark my words, the Patriots will get a loss in one of these games, whether it's towards the end of the year, if they've locked up maybe the number one or number two seed and they just don't care. They don't want to rest some guys. I think that they'll probably lose at least one of the games in the last stretch of the season. I don't think it's going to be Pittsburgh, but I think it could be one of the AFC East teams.
Well, they are definitely in a position. They're in the driver's seat here with the AFC, and you know, they are the team to beat until said otherwise. So, we'll appreciate your take on your team, and we'll touch more on that. Kyle, let's talk about your Chiefs here. When the Raiders are going to Mexico, the Raiders obviously were underdogs. You were 10-point favorites going to New York, man. What happened? What do you think? What's going on there?
It's a number of factors. First and foremost, the weather in that game was really bad. There was some serious wind. Both teams were afraid to kick the ball for most of the game. But
is that because of high wind?
Yeah, there was some very high wind. But there's other problems in Kansas City right now. I think they took the Giants a little light. But here's the problem. I think everybody's kind of figured out what the Chiefs are doing on offense. If you play man defense against Kansas City is going to burn you. Between guys like Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt out of the backfield, and the way Travis Kelce is, they cannot be covered in man-to-man for many different reasons. In Kelce's case, it's like trying to cover Gronk. In Tyreek Hill's case, he's going to run past somebody. Everybody is now playing zone 2 against Kansas City, and they can't beat it. They don't have the type of players who can beat a zone defense. And it's catching up to them. The other thing that's been catching up to them is injuries on defense. And it started Game 1 of the year at the end of the Patriots game, and Pete will know what I'm talking about, when Eric Berry went down with that Achilles injury.
That was tough. That was, as a Patriots fan, like, you know, you never want to see guys, especially star players, get injured for the rest of the year that early in the season, and especially a guy like Eric Berry, who's a stand-up guy. He's really the leader of that defense and sets the tone in that secondary. That was tough. That was tough to see.
Yeah. And then in the case too of two of our premier pass rushers, Tom Bahali, who missed half the season and is still playing on a gimpy knee, and Dee Ford, who has never really quite lived up to his number one pick potential, but has been nursing a back injury all season. It's kind of killed our pass rush. Yeah, it's gotten so bad, and they needed help in safety. They actually signed Darrell Revis today. And we're not talking about Revis Island anymore, as we are talking about Revis Continent. But my hope is that he can at least come in and play some solid safety for the Kansas City and kind of help there. If they're going to try to play him at corner, it can turn into a disaster. I think the other final issue is Alex Smith has gotten back into his dink and dunk habits because everybody's playing zone. He's not throwing the deep ball, and Alex Smith is throwing maybe 3-yard passes on a regular basis anymore. And it's bringing up the talk now of, do we see Patrick Mahomes before the season's out if this keeps up on offense?
Right.
Because they're just stalemated at this point, and it's not surprising, but there was an article I read the other day, though, too, about the AFC West being a complete falsification from what we saw at the beginning of the season. And, Kevin, I got to say, there's some validity to that. I mean, look at what right now, you want my honest opinion, unless Kansas City can turn it around, the Los Angeles Chargers might be the team that sneaks out that division the way they're playing after the beatdown they laid on the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I know, man.
you mean the San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim? I mean, how many?
Yeah.
I mean, I still call them the San Diego Chargers. I mean,
the San Diego, California Chargers of Anaheim. Yeah, there you go. yeah, no, go ahead, Kyle.
No, I was just going to say, too, and the other thing is, I mean, Kansas City, you don't lose, if you're a playoff team, you don't lose to teams like the New York Giants the way the Giants are this year. So it does have me tapered in on my enthusiasm for Kansas City. They're still in the driver's seat. They have a 2-game lead over everybody and have tiebreakers over everybody in their division. But it's still, they've got to turn it around, and they've got to turn it around this week against Buffalo, who's a mess themselves.
I will say, I will say that I really feel bad for you, Kyle, because I know what it's like to lose to the Giants on a wacky circus catch like that. So my heart really goes out to you, pal.
If anyone does know.
I do have to give it credit. That was one hell of a catch in that overtime. He was going to get a pass interference call anyway, but the fact he made that catch was pretty damn amazing.
Unbelievable.
So I got to give him credit there. So
Well, I'm not gonna belabor the point too much on how bad the Raiders are right now. They fired their defensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr., which a lot of fans were kind of asking for to happen for a while now, and Pagano's going to step up into that shoes, but I'm not expecting anything dramatic there. OC coordinator, we're not happy with either, but he's in his first year of growing pain. So anyway, we'll move along here. Kyle, I got one quick question
for you on that.
Oh, sure.
We brought this up a few weeks ago, and I want you to reassess after what they've seen.
Okay.
If they keep on this path, is Del Rio on the hot seat? Because they're starting to get ugly on him.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot more talk about that with the fans. But I really, yeah, I could see him getting on the hot seat if they continue to lose. Anyone will be on the hot seat if they continue to lose, basically. If they can somewhat salvage, this season somewhat, though, I don't see Del Rio going yet. I definitely see him coming back next season, if you ask me personally. I see the OC going first. It's tough being a Raider fan, man. I'll tell you, what's interesting too is that, I've been used to losing for, over 15 years now or whatever, how long it is. And we had an amazing season last year. Unfortunately, it ended, when Carr broke his leg. And we had really high hopes. And I got to be honest with you, when I was watching that game on Sunday, I was at the Raider Club. I left at the third quarter when it was like 30 whatever to nothing. And I was just disgusted because it seems like they just lost the will to play. There was just nothing was going right. It was just, I just could not watch it because, after having our hopes just all dashed this season after what the promising lookout that we had from last season, it's really frustrating. For Del Rio, I think he's going to be back unless, if they lose the rest of their games, then I would say he's definitely on the hot seat,
Yeah. Well, let me ask you one last question on this, because I talked about Alex Smith and how he's regressed during the season. Do you think Derek Carr has regressed in his quarterback play compared to last season?
I would say yes. He's I would say a little bit. Yeah. I think he's lost some confidence and, he's not moving in the pocket. He does these things where he'll move up into the pocket where there's, defenders coming at him, and I just don't understand it. And there's been some questionable throws he's done, but, I can't put it all on him. The offensive line isn't as where it used to be. Defense is just horrible right now. And God, man, so many dropped balls by our receivers. I can't put it all on Cooper anymore. He's had probably the most, but everyone's having dropped balls. It's just, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. You think the back injury at all is still affecting Carr?
I don't think so. I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like that's it. I think it's more of a confidence thing because you can kind of see it when he's in the sidelines and stuff. So, but yeah. But real quick, let's touch on this previous week though. That Minnesota Rams game didn't quite turn out to be very close there.
Minnesota, that was a staking game for the Minnesota Vikings. And what's curious to me is I don't want to call it a controversy, but you have a quarterback issue in Minnesota still, because a lot of people want to see Teddy Bridgewater in there, but Case Keenum keeps playing this way. And then the question is even if Keenum has a game that he struggles, do you take him out for Bridgewater?
Until he starts struggling, maybe, but you go with Keenum, man. You go with the hot hand right now.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You're gonna ride the guy that's making wins for your team.
They're 8-2. Yeah. 8-2 right now. Same record as the Patriots, man, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Oh, man, it's crazy. Well, so
I'll tell you the game I think may have been the crazy game of the week, without a doubt, was New Orleans-Washington.
Yeah, that was definitely a good game. Pete, was there any games last week that stood out for you other than your Patriots trouncing of the Raiders?
Well, I'm actually a Saints fan as well, and so that was a fun game to watch the Saints, that 8-0 win streak that they're on. As far as other games, that the Atlanta Seattle game on Monday night was just, I kind of watched it because they were the two teams that Patriots recently won, have beaten the Super Bowl. So it was kind of like you're hearing rumblings that, you know, Atlanta's, you know, hasn't gotten over it. You're hearing things that Seattle hasn't gotten over those, you know. I was curious to see how well these two teams would play against each other. And that one was, I mean, just some really questionable decisions. And I don't know. It was an interesting game, to say the least.
Well, I got a hot take for you guys, and I want to see what you think. As it stands right now with the injuries they have, the Seattle Seahawks are not going to make the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, man, they are decimated by injuries. I don't see how they can keep going. It seems like three of the four wheels have fallen off that wagon of theirs, so I don't know. Kyle, if you don't mind, let's get into the current standings right now, and then we'll get into the power rankings. Is that all right?
Yeah, well, just one other quick game I want to bring up was the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles are proving they're legit because they just manhandled the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. And in Dallas, too.
Yeah, Philly's a scary team. They've got a lot. They're just red hot right now. Red hot.
Well, and Wentz is a good playoff run, putting himself in the elite quarterback range. Mm.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah. You got to get some, playoff wins in there, of course, and of course the Super Bowl will nail it. For the AFC East, of course, we've got your Pats there, Pete, at 8-2, with Buffalo in second at 5-5, followed by the Dolphins and Jets at 4-6. The AFC North, we got Pittsburgh at 8-2, Baltimore followed by 5-5, Cincinnati 4-6, and the woeful Cleveland Browns at 0-10. By the way, Kyle, did you see that thing I tagged Norman in on how the Cleveland Browns could make the playoffs?
I read that.
If these 47 things happen, they can make it into the playoffs at 6-10.
If the meteor striked and destroyed all 31 other teams, that might...
I think that was number 47, actually, yeah. For the AFC South, we've got Jacksonville leading the way at 7-3, Tennessee followed in second by 6-4, Houston at 4-6, and Colts at 3-7. The interesting AFC West, of course, Kansas City's 6-4 with the Chargers and Oakland Raiders tied at 4-6, but Chargers have that tiebreaker as of right now. Denver definitely out of it right now at 3-7. NFC. Eagles, of course, in the East, leading it to the best record right now at 9-1, followed by Dallas at 5-5, Skins at 4-6, Giants at now 2-8. And an interesting NFC North there. We got Minnesota at 8-2, Detroit at 6-4, Green Bay at 5-5, Chicago at 3-7. NFC South 8-2, New Orleans Saints, Carolina right behind them at 7-3, followed by the Falcons at 6-4, and Tampa Bay at 4-6. And last but not least, the NFC West, the Rams still on top with 7-3 records, followed by Seattle at 6-4, Arizona at 4-6, and Niners at 1-9.
Now, I don't think you hit the AFC South there, Kevin.
Oh, I did. Did I miss them? Oh, geez. I guess I do. I mean, oh gosh, yeah.
AFC. I understand why.
I got the AFC South. Jacksonville is at 7-3. I said those guys. Yeah.
I understand why you would skip that division.
I said it. We didn't skip it. Yeah. So, okay. So for a little power rankings here, no big surprise here. Eagles are at 9-1, followed by the Patriots at number 2, Steelers 3, Saints 4, Vikings 5. They're up. Rams went down. They're at 6. Panthers at 7, Jaguars at 8, Falcons at 9. Your Chiefs cracked the top 10 there, Kyle, with the Seahawks, Lions, Cowboys, Titans, and Ravens right out the top 15. How's that top 10 ranking for you, Kyle? You think that's about right, or is there anything that seems out of place?
No, I think that's about right. You know, the Saints are on a roll. I mean, I am shocked at what I'm seeing from the New Orleans Saints, especially because they're doing it with the running game and not Drew Brees.
Let me ask you. You said you root for the Saints here from time to time. What's your feeling on this?
I'm actually pretty surprised, given the start of the season when they were 0-2 and they lost to the Patriots pretty badly, and just the way they've turned it around, and like Kyle said, the way they've been doing it, this between Kamara and Ingram, that they've just been. You saw what they did against the Bills 2 weeks ago. I mean, they're winning with the running game. The defense has been playing markedly improved for New Orleans, who's had a terrible defense for a long time. Not to say that they're lights out, but they're playing much better. And when you've got a good defense and a good running game, and you got Drew Brees and all those weapons, I mean, it's the South is theirs for the taking, I think. I know. There's a lot of talk about Carolina and, you know, obviously the Falcons, but I just think New Orleans is just on fire right now. They're just tearing it up.
Yeah, and the Vikings at 5 here, this is Case Keenum's team. You leave him in there. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to happen. Having Teddy Bridgewater as a backup, I think, is a good thing for right now. Rams dropping. Kyle, I want to ask you about the Rams. They lost this game, and they lost it pretty convincingly. And they got a tough, brutal stretch of games coming up here. They're ranked number 6. How you feeling about them?
I still like them a lot. Minnesota is a tough place to go play, especially in that new stadium. It gets loud. The Rams are a young team. They're still up and coming. I think they're going to win that NFC West, because I think Seattle's between half of the Legion of Boom out, and they can't find a running back to save their lives. And I'm not convinced Russell Wilson's going to survive until the end of the season. So yeah. I think the Rams are still going to win that division by default. But I want to go back real quick to the Saints, too, because Pete talked about how much their defense has improved. There's one thing I think we're seeing as a trend in the NFL that's kind of coming back around, and that is you have to have at least one legitimate cover corner on your team. And for the Saints, the big difference has been rookie Marshawn Lattimore. And if you look at all the teams that are in first place, they have at least one quality cover corner. If you go over their roster, Jacksonville has Jalen Ramsey. You know, the Patriots with Gilmore and Butler. Kansas City with
what's a quality corner? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I think Nnamdi Asenwa was the last one that Raiders had.
I was going to say Charles Woodson, but no, I'm Nnamdi Asenwa. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think Woodson was good in the first stint with the Raiders before he went to the Packers, but yeah.
But I think that's been a big key this season. And I think you're starting to see teams that have a legitimate running game as well. I got to say, Kevin, you look at, we're talking about the Vikings. A lot of people thought they'd be done when Dalvin Cook went down, and Latavius Murray's kind of been reborn with the Vikings, and he's not spectacular, but he's giving them a solid running game.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe it's their offensive line. I don't know. But we touched on it earlier. Let's touch on some news here. Let's start with Revis going to the Chiefs here as a free agent. Now, what's funny is if Revis had signed with the Raiders, we would be, oh, my God, thank God, Revis Island, blah, blah, blah. But no, he's going to the Chiefs here. You joked calling it Revis Continent here. How you feeling about this, Kyle?
I think it's an upgrade at safety, considering what we've played. We have a kid that Andy Reid's been high on, Sorensen, but he's just been very inconsistent, and they've been getting killed on defense. So anything that could possibly help improve, and I think Revis will bring a little bit of veteran leadership to that team on the defensive side, which besides Eric Johnson, they got a lot of young guys. So I think it'll be a big help.
Hold on. Do you think he's one and done after this season? Do you think they're going to try and re-sign him?
I think he's one and done, because the plan is they just need him to fill in until Eric Berry's back healthy next season.
Okay.
But I'll tell you one news piece that I kind of found interesting, and we kind of hit on this last week, but Tyrod Taylor's back to being the Buffalo Bills starting quarterback after Nathan Peterman threw 5 interceptions and a half.
The Nate Peterson era is officially over.
Oh, my God, I felt bad for the kid. Poor but, God. Man, I still don't understand why they benched Tyrod after one bad game. I just don't get it. But
especially when you're in the playoff hunt like that, they weren't out of it. They wouldn't looking at oh, we'll see what this rookie has for next year, and we'll see. No, they were in the hunt. You know, if they had
that was a bad coaching move right there. That was just bad,
rookie coach
bad.
Too.
Yep, rookie coach.
Yeah.
I have one for you for quarterback changes too, Kevin. Couple of things with the Denver Broncos. First, they fired their offensive coordinator this week. And they have benched Brock Osweiler and are on to quarterback number three for the season in former first-round pick Paxton Lynch.
Well, with the way things have been falling in Denver, that does not surprise me at all. I know people were high on Paxton and they want to give him another shot, so I'm not surprised by that. But when we talk quarterbacks here, I got it. What the heck is happening in San Francisco? Beathard over Garoppolo this week? Did Garoppolo like fart or something and piss someone off when he got there? Why aren't they starting Garoppolo?
Pete, you got any info on this?
Well, you know, it could be maybe he hasn't picked up the playbook yet. You know, not picked it up. Obviously, he hasn't. But, you know, just maybe he hasn't understood it. Maybe he hasn't shown them. I think they're probably sticking with the guy that has been in the system that kind of knows what
they're one in. They're 1-10, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
See what you've got. Yeah.
Well, okay. But well, wait.
It's like the Bills not throwing out Benjamin at least in the last quarter to see if he could just catch something. You know, it's little things like that. I just don't get unless they want to see what Beathard has before they plan to go to Garoppolo. I don't know.
Okay. I have a couple theories on this. First of all, I think C.J. Beathard is getting a little bit of a reward for taking the pounding he has and leading them to a win before their bye week. I think this is like, okay, kid, you got to win. We're not going to bench you after getting the first win of the season. And he played pretty well in that game, Arizona game that they won. Two, Kyle Shanahan's playbook, even Atlanta Falcons players have said, it is one of the hardest offensive playbooks to learn in the league. And it could be, you know, you got to have terminology. You got to have this. It could be that there's that. I also think I'm curious if the Niners, knowing that they are probably going to give Jimmy G a big contract extension at the end of the season, considering their season is a wash and that their offensive line is Swiss cheese, they might not want to get their big investment killed before the end of the season.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple other notes here. Josh Gordon returns to Browns practice. Let's hope that he stays off the drugs. Here's something interesting. Dwight Freeney signs with the Lions after the Seahawks cut him. That's interesting. I don't know how much it'll help the Lions, but I don't know if he's not the same Dwight Freeney as he used to be.
If you use him as exclusively a pass rusher on third down, I think you can get a little something out of him.
I think that's basically all he can do at this point. You know, it's just third down pass rushes, you know, just get after him.
Yeah, agreed. Well, that's most of the big news there that we have. Actually, Kyle, you got something else? Yeah?
Well, I got something. I'm kind of throwing this out there because our good buddy Stephen A. Smith at ESPN threw out a great hypothetical today on First Take that I got to get. That's going to give you guys a laugh, if nothing else.
Okay. That's good. Steve's always good for a laugh.
Okay, so Stephen A. is on one of his rants as usual, and of course, one of the topics that comes up is Donald Trump going after Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
And Stephen A. says, people need to realize Donald Trump has a vendetta against the NFL because they did not let him buy the Buffalo Bills a couple of years ago.
Yeah, didn't he also invest in the, what was that?
The USFL.
USFL, yeah. Yeah.
But no, wait, it gets better. So Stephen A. has gone on this. Think about this. If Donald Trump would have been allowed to buy the Buffalo Bills, he would not have run for president. So once again, it all falls on the fault of the Buffalo Bills.
Pete's loving that.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but when that whole Trump Bills connection was happening, there was also another name that was interested in buying the Bills, and that was John Bon Jovi. Do you remember this?
Oh, I did. I remember that.
Yeah.
This honest to God happened. Trump went ahead and he got this marketing firm or this group together they basically went to these radio stations and they like wouldn't play Bon Jovi. And they were like, just make fun of John Bon Jovi. Like, oh, you don't want anything to do with this guy, this loser. And they would make all these like phony, like spoof Bon Jovi songs. I mean, that's Trump for you. But I mean, that's just hilarious that like he would go to that length to trash on John Bon Jovi of all people, because he wanted the Buffalo the Buffalo Bills. Unbelievable.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Okay. That's funny. All right. Well, let's get into let's look forward here into week 12. Man, this season is the end of the season is rapidly approaching, and really, I want to get your.
Do we have to really look at week 12 because it's kind of ugly?
Yeah, I know, I know. Now, I want to get your take on something, Pete, because Kyle and I have felt this, and we've expressed this on the show. The Thursday games for Thanksgiving, we got Minnesota at Detroit, the Chargers at Dallas, and then the late game is Washington hosting the Giants. Kyle and I feel that we think the only games that should be on Thursday are the opening Thursday game of the season and these holiday Thanksgiving games. We are tired of the regular week-to-week Thursday games. We don't want them anymore. I know there's some other fans that feel the same way. How do you feel about that, Pete? What's your take on that?
Yeah, Thursday night game's got to go. I think it's oversaturation. I think the players hate it because you're asking them to go – travel or prepare or recover on just you're talking about days, and I think that that's why the quality of the games. I mean, you see some of the teams that they pick for the, you know, like Tennessee or some of these like Cleveland at wherever. It's just like some of the some of these lower echelon teams that they're not marquee matchups. You're asking the players to and the coaches to make all these preparations on a short week. We're only talking about like a few days. And there's not a lot of margin for error. And you see a lot of players get hurt and just bad football on these Thursday night games. And I would be totally fine with it. Like you said, at the start of the season is a Thursday night game. And then, you know, Thanksgiving, even if you do the three games, like what they've been doing, you do like the Dallas who's the other team?
Detroit,
thank you. Dallas and Detroit, those are tradition. And then you've got like the one extra one at night. That's fine. But to do this week after week after week and putting the players and coaches in these, you know, really tough spots. And then again, it's just a little oversaturation. It's just, I like that football's on Sunday and Monday and you get to look forward to that. And then you just cram it all in. And I don't know, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah, we have obviously talked about that, but we do believe that it belongs on Thanksgiving. It's tradition.
Absolutely.
Let's look at some of the games here. Let's actually talk about our teams here. And Kyle, let's start with you. KC's at home, going to be licking their wounds playing against Buffalo, and they're favored by 10 right now. How are you feeling about that?
We should beat Buffalo. I think that spread is a little high considering the way we're playing right now. And what kind of scares me is we've really struggled against the run this season. And if Buffalo has had one thing going for it consistently all year, it's been LeSean McCoy. Yeah. So my biggest concern with Buffalo, I just wonder if Buffalo's not defeated with the whole quarterback issue.
Is Charles Clay back in the lineup? I heard he was coming back soon.
He's been back for the last couple of weeks. But now I hear Kelvin Benjamin's iffy. He kind of had an knee issue that took him out of the last game. I haven't heard his status for that game. But that game just concerns me a little. Kansas City's got to find a way to get the offense going. And at home against a team they should beat, this is the time to start turning it around.
Right. Pete, what about New England? They're back at home. They're favored by around 16 points over Miami. How are you feeling about that game? Pretty much you think that'll be a lockup win there?
I think it may not be as much of a lock, I guess. I don't know. I'm a little – it's at home, which is probably, almost a shoe-in, but where it's a divisional opponent. If this was in Miami, I would think that it would be – you'd have to question it. They don't play particularly great down in Miami. They typically win, but it's not by much. Where it's a home game, it depends on the weather too. If it's a really cold, lousy day, I think that the Patriots will probably walk away with this one handily. But, I always give the divisional opponents I gotta give them respect, but I think it's gonna be a win. I don't know if it's gonna be that by that much.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, my my Oakland Raiders are at home against Denver, and I'm feeling a little bit better about this game just because of the way Denver's been playing, and it's at home. I felt the Raiders get screwed when they lose a home game to go to Mexico and or London. But at home against Denver, divisional rival, game we must win if we see any light at the end of the tunnel here. And hope for another Kansas City loss, I guess. But I don't see that happening this week. So, Kyle, what are some other games here that interest you?
Well, I think Minnesota at Detroit on Thanksgiving might be one of the best Thanksgiving games we've had in a while.
Yeah.
And I actually think the other early Thanksgiving game, that the Chargers at Dallas, is a very intriguing game. But the only other game that really grabs my attention is New Orleans at the Rams.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm curious. Are you with the quarterback change in Denver, though, Kevin, do you think that could be something to where it gives Denver a spark or just makes more chaos in Denver for playing your Raiders?
Well, with our history with Brock Osweiler, I wish he was throwing. we had his number a few times there. But, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. The thing that I'm worried about is the running game of Devontae Booker. He's, and we'll touch on that in our fantasy advice here and such. That Raiders still, you know, especially with pass catching running backs, that's something that the Raiders have struggled against as well. So yeah, it's interesting. We don't have any more buys now. Philadelphia is obviously at home with Chicago. That they should win that game. Atlanta's at home with Tampa Bay. Carolina at the Jets. That's going to be a little test for Carolina if they want to stay in the hunt there. Nothing really. I think is. Of note, Jacksonville, Arizona. I don't know. Is there any other games that interest you on this docket, Pete?
Houston, Baltimore, I think. Not Houston, Baltimore. What am I writing down? Oh, geez. I had it and I lost it. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to. I think you guys pretty much hit the nail on the head. I had it written down. I don't know what I did. But...
Well, that's, I'm trying to see. There's nothing really else. But, yeah, I think that Rams-New Orleans game, that's definitely an interesting one. And I'm glad that the first game, Minnesota-Detroit, for the Thanksgiving game is going to be an interesting one to watch. Divisional games are always interesting with Washington Giants, with the way the Giants are and where they're at. I don't know if that – really, I think that game means more to Washington than it does the Giants. So, Kyle, anything else you want to add to this week, or shall we jump into our mediocre fantasy football advice?
I think we need to go right to mediocre fantasy football advice. This week is just some ugly viewing. I don't know if the fantasy football advice is going to be much better.
Well, as I mentioned, Booker is definitely a hot pickup right now if you need a running back. And it seems to me that he's becoming the go-to guy right now there in Denver. He's been productive recently. He's getting a lot of touches. Also, the hottest pickup, obviously, would be Samaje what's his name?
Perrine. Yeah, I've watched it.
Yeah. Yeah, with Chris Thompson going out on IR, I tried to get him in one of my leagues, and someone else snagged him up before I did. Josh Doctson, wide receiver for Washington. Jamal Williams, for running back for Green Bay. This Zay Jones for Buffalo. I know he's getting some looks and stuff. I'm not quite sold on him, but maybe with Benjamin being banged up, I could definitely see why you'd want to look at him. You talked about Josh Gordon last week, Kyle. Is he worth a pickup? I mean, he's just practicing, you know?
Here's my feeling on Josh Gordon. He's not eligible to play until next week. That's I think if you're a team where you feel pretty comfortable at wide receiver, but you may feel like you could improve, I think Josh Gordon might be worth a risk pickup if you feel you're set with starting wide receivers. Because if Josh Gordon goes off, which he's more than capable of doing, and he's probably the closest thing Cleveland's going to have to a legit wide receiver all season long, if he shows up ready to play and even remotely looks like the Josh Gordon we saw the last time he was actually on the field, look out, because he could put up some big numbers real quick on a very bad Cleveland team.
Yeah. Pete, you play fantasy?
No, I don't. I've never the main reason why I don't play fantasy football is because I don't want to root for players or teams that I really don't like. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to root for the Jets defense or, you know, it's just, you know, some player on another team I'm not really a fan of. So, and the other thing too is I'd probably be terrible at it. So, if you want subpar advice on your fantasy football team, you might want to ask me, but,
well, one thing I wanted to mention. What?
With his subpar advice, does that bring us down from mediocre to below average?
Yeah, I guess for this week, especially the way my teams have been playing. So, on running back there, it seems like it's been a mess up there in Seattle. I know they've got Eddie Lacy up there as a possible, but JD McKissick, I think he is one that I would actually look over anyone else there in the backfield. He got some looks and attempts, and he made the most out of it there. I would say he's good. Is there any other prospects you see on the waiver wire that you'd like to see, Kyle?
Well, as far as JD McKissick goes, I'll tell you where your best comparison to that is Jerick McKinnon in Minnesota. He's all right. Speed. He's going to get touches. One name that on your quarterback side, because we've had so many injuries and some weird matchups. If you're looking for a quarterback, one that's available in a lot of leagues, that
Peterman,
he kind of is one of those. He's one of those streaming type quarterbacks. Is Andy Dalton? They're playing Cleveland this week, and the last time Cincinnati played Cleveland, Andy Dalton threw for 4 touchdowns. So.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I could see he's one you definitely want to stream week to week though. So yeah. I could see that. All right.
Now, Kevin, how did you do in fantasy football this week as far as your leagues go?
I lost all my games. I have 3 leagues and I lost them all. It was bad. And you know what? Oh God, don't you hate when you listen to some ESPN analyst and they're talking about someone that is injured and they're leaning on don't starting him because, you know, they're not going to, you know, they're hurt and they may only play for a little bit. I would suggest not starting them. You know, have you ever done that? And you go, you're trying to make the decision because they're questionable and they keep saying he's a game time decision. And I made that decision with Leonard Fournette and I paid for it. I sat Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. And he and he went off. And so I'm calling out Stefania Bell on ESPN. You screwed me.
but you helped me, Stefania, so I'm because, needless to say, in our ESPN league, Kevin and I played each other for the second time. And let's
God,
just
I
say
suck. I suck.
I claim victory.
You're heading up that division, aren't you? Because you're in the East division.
I'm actually a game behind in that division, but I mean, we're so clustered in that league that anybody can still make the playoffs just about.
Yeah, that's true.
But how'd you do in your
NFL
other,
league?
How
were your other leagues? Kyle, you're ahead in the NFL league. You're at 9-2, buddy. Nice.
Yeah. I got revenge this week against a certain static Patriots team that took me out in week 1 of the NFL league. So it was a thing of
that's
beauty.
That is my friend Kat Cedar, who is a big Patriots fan, and
he took
him out. And he's a big Patriots fan. And longtime friend of mine. And I opened up a can of suck and I'm at 4-7 right now at 8th out of 10th place. So yeah, I ain't going nowhere there. But I'm gonna try and play spoiler and see what if I can knock some people out of some positions here. That's all I can do. and grab all the waiver wire pickups with my priority. That's all I can do.
he's one of those.
God, I even lost in my Yahoo league. It's just, man, I just, that's why it's called mediocre fantasy football advice.
Well, you know, I am in first place in one of the leagues, so at least.
Neener, neener, neener.
I'm keeping our bell curve rather high.
Any other thing you want to say on fantasy, Kyle?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. So, but now the question remains, Kevin, who do you got as a surprise game this week, and who's your fantasy player for this week?
That's a good question. Oh man, it's really hard to say because when I'm looking at my own team, I don't know where to go. I'm going to say Devontae Booker against the Raiders. It hurts me to say that. And by the way, Pete, I was looking at Rex to really rip apart the Raiders this last week. That didn't happen, but I think he's going to have a big game against Miami.
Yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying about the three-headed running attack that you can't really – it's going to be driving fantasy owners just bananas because you've got Deion Lewis, who's basically become their primary guy.
Yeah, he's the guy I would start over anyone if I had
absolutely
one.
Because I don't know, I don't really know much about fantasy football, but you know he's also running back. He's running kickoffs for the Patriots as well. So I mean, you know he took one back a couple of weeks ago. So you know you've got Deion Lewis, James White, who's you know Brady's binky pretty much now that Julian Edelman's done for the season, and you know. And then, of course, Rex Burkhead. So for a new addition to the team, and you were wondering, you know, how's this guy going to fit when you've got two essentially receiving backs in Deion Lewis and James White, he's fit in perfectly. He's played really, really well and impressed a lot of people up here.
Yeah. Kyle, what about you? You got some picks for this week that might be a surprise fantasy stud?
Well, like I said earlier, I think Andy Dalton would be worth a play if you're not quite sure at quarterback. I'm also going to say I would make any Pittsburgh Steeler available to you as a start. They're playing Green Bay. Green Bay, the fork is in on them. They let Baltimore run up the score on them, kind of, last week, I think.
Yeah, I've been waiting for Juju to kind of have more of a consistent basis, and I think he'll find the end zone this week, too.
So, but I think that's it. Kevin, we have a guest here. My offense isn't scoring. Your defense isn't getting interceptions. Pete, you have a play for us that can get us into the end zone? I mean, but before I even say that, in your honor for being here, we have deflated some footballs and we have videotaped your sideline.
Do you have some videotapes too? That'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they all ended up with the commissioner, but Well, I don't know. I mean, if I'm calling plays, you're asking me to call a play. Well, I think maybe I might pull out my inner Gruden. You know, my maybe a little spider two Y banana. Maybe get that. Maybe run a fade route, get that ball in the end zone. What do you say, guys?
Well, I think a little spider two Y banana would, and to quote the Grim Roethlisberger, a little dilly dilly. The snap count. Well, once again, get us in the end zone. I want to thank Kevin for being here. I want to thank the Super Sweet for being here.
Yeah, Super Sweet. I want to thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate your support on the Fandom Podcast Network as well.
Thank you, guys. Yep. It's been an honor to be here, and it's been a lot of fun, man. I had a blast. Thanks again, guys.
Yep, and we have arrived in the end zone. Guys, line up for Leapfrog. We got a little celebration to do. I want to thank everybody for listening, and good luck with your football this week.